Welcome to the Conscient Conversations podcast. I'm Nigel Stevens, and in this podcast, I interview key people working in the data center, technology, and telecommunications industries. We discuss their stories and get their insights on the rapidly changing technology landscape. Welcome to Conscient Conversations podcast. Today, I'm joined by Darren Webb, CEO of Evolution Data Centers. Good to see you again, Darren. How are you?
I'm good, Nigel. Thank you. How are you?
Yeah, very well. Very well. I thought before we start, we'd perhaps give everyone a quick introduction of kind of who you are and what you do at Evo.
Yeah, that's a great question. One I have to remind myself of occasionally. So I'm one of the co-founders, along with Ed Martin Sperry, and we founded Evolution now 5 years ago, actually, during COVID, funny enough. And we saw an opportunity or a gap in the market, which, you know, I guess is how many entrepreneurial stories start. And what was that gap? Well, the what were called the tier one markets, Australia, Hong Kong, Singapore, were incredibly busy for data centers, but we didn't really see that kind of growth out into the emerging markets in Southeast Asia. And that created an opportunity, but not enough on its own, where we saw another angle. So the kind of second fork of the strategy was sustainability. Now, 5 years ago, not actually that many data centers were talking about sustainability in all frankness. It became a tag on maybe a couple of years later. Now, of course, everyone talks about it, and that's good because it should be spoken about by everyone. But I believe we were one of the first to kind of focus on it as a core part of our strategy. But what does it mean? Because it's, you know, sustainability is a big word, a long word. But it means a lot of things for different people. For us, you know, I like to boil it down and try to keep it relatively simple in terms of, well, what does that mean in practice? Because it's very easy to talk about sustainability. It's a lot harder to execute. So for us, you know, we really focus on securing renewable power, organic renewable power. So what does that mean? That means that we're in markets, the emerging markets that actually have organic renewable power. So whether it's geothermal in the Philippines or solar in Thailand or offshore wind in Vietnam, the reality is it is there in the market. Now, the regulatory position, how to access that power, can be challenging. But this is what I said 5 years ago and is what I believe today. We believe we can overcome regulatory challenges because it's paperwork, it's admin, you know, it's legal stuff, but it's overcomable. What you can't overcome is where renewable energy doesn't exist. So if you look at Singapore and Hong Kong as the two traditional hubs, they don't have the land, they don't have the offshore, they don't have the geothermal. You know, they're never going to be a big renewable player. So we wanted to be in markets where we could combine the two things, Nigel. So the market opportunity, i.e. these markets were at the cusp of cloud adoption, and also where we could build more sustainable data centers using renewable energy.
Brilliant. Evolution is quite different to most of the data center operators we talk to. Would you like to sort of tell us a bit more about that difference?
Yeah, I mean, look, as I just said previously, no doubt you can't talk to a data center operator, a data center CEO without sustainability being one of the first words that comes out of their mouth. And for, you know, as an event this week, and certainly I see some great things happen out of Europe, particularly the Nordics, where there's an excess of renewable energy. But in Asia, it's a little bit different. And, you know, we have hot temperatures, humidity. So, you know, reusing excess heat, for instance, is just not something that's very plausible for us, certainly at the moment. So I do think we're a little bit different. I'll give you an actual example of that to bring it to life. You know, I'm almost completely against carbon credits. In fact, I personally dislike carbon credits massively. Why? Because I think all they really do is facilitate a middleman making money. And the whole point is to decarbonize, not to create a value chain where some financiers are making more money. So I'm completely against carbon credits. And you know, is that a criticism of many operators that use them? Yes, it is a criticism because, you know, that's not going to help emissions in a local market. So for instance, you know, an operator in Jakarta, you know, terrible the quality of air is not good. You know, they bought some carbon credits in the US maybe, and they're applying them to their Jakarta asset. tell me what that does for the emissions in the local market. The answer is nothing. The emissions are still getting kicked out into the air. Now, I'm not saying I can solve that, Nigel, but what I'm saying is I think evolution has always acted with a level of transparency and honesty to say, look, these are difficult challenges to overcome, but carbon credits is not the answer. So, you know, it's really reassuring to see, you know, I won't name them, but I don't like to use their name publicly, but one of the major US cloud providers just recently, a few months ago, talk about removing carbon credits from their carbon calculations. And I think that's absolutely great leadership because it, you know, the reality is if there's many operators that talk about having 100% renewable energy, 100% green, all of this absolute rubbish. Unless we admit as an industry, we've got a problem and it's not easy to solve, then how do you address it? And so that's why I think evolution, you know, I do believe has been a bit different because we've always been vocal to say, look, carbon credits is not the answer. There is no easy answer because if there was, everyone would be doing it. But, you know, we have to strive to be better every day. And we have to strive as an industry to try to overcome these challenges in a transparent manner. And so that's where I would see the difference, Nigel.
You know, that's great. And what specific sources of energy are you guys using at Evo?
Yeah, I mean, look, we're agnostic to a certain degree. You know, if you look at, I kind of referenced it earlier, if you look at the Philippines, it's a great example. You know, they have enormous geographical challenges that they're faced with in that part of the world. But they're also blessed, if that's the right word, with a lot of geothermal power. Geothermal is baseload power, so it's about as good as it can get out there. But, you know, do you want to put a data center on top of a volcanic activity? No, but the reality is that they have that power available and have a lot of it. And so that's a great opportunity. You know, we've actually done a PPA in the Philippines for 100 megawatts of clean energy. Well, that'd be a mixture of geothermal and solar. You know, so we use what is most relevant in the market we're operating in. So in Thailand, solar, and in Vietnam, solar and offshore wind. You know, we're not taking a view of it has to be the same solution everywhere. We're in different markets and each of them presents their own challenges and opportunities. And we have to kind of amend our strategy as best we can to fit the market. So, you know, that's not just from a physical, what power can you get, but also the regulatory position. So in Philippines is actually quite advanced. You know, you can do a PPA direct today. In Vietnam, they trial PPAs. In Thailand, they're just talking about it. So, you know, you have to amend your strategy as best you can. But what we do is spend a lot of time working with partners and potential partners in the clean energy space. And, you know, what's interesting there, Nigel, to be absolutely frank, and this won't be a surprise to anyone in the industry, at the hyperscale level, you know, we're not making money on power. You know, it's a pass-through. So, you know, the easy answer for us, frankly, is just go and connect to the grid and buy their brown power. If it's coal-based, it's coal-based. That's the easy answer, right? That's just not what we wanted to do. We want to give our customers the option to source through us, with us, the access to clean energy, and for them to decarbonize their own footprint, because it, you know, ultimately it becomes their power. So that's what we focus on. And as I said, we amend our strategy to fit the markets we're operating in.
Yeah, brilliant. And you've got this acute focus on Southeast Asia as well. Why is it such an important region, and why can't it be served from the sort of traditional locations like Singapore?
I love that's a great question, because of course it was for a number of years from those traditional hubs. It's a multifaceted response. You know, if you look at our industry, you know, 2 years ago, a 20 megawatt, 30 megawatt data center was big, certainly in our part of the world in Asia. You know, perhaps less so in the US, but you know, AI and you know, GPU as a service for you know, underneath AI has just dramatically changed our industry from a number of factors, but scale being the biggest one. So, you know, now, you know, just today, you know, we just sourced 100 megawatts of power in another site in Thailand. frankly, Nigel, I didn't dream of that 3 or 4 years ago. The whole market today is probably less than 100 megawatts of IT load deployed. Mm-hmm. And I've just gone and secured it into phase one of one project. So, you know, the scale is just dramatic. The increase in scale is just dramatic. And then you look at some of you look at it from a population point of view. You know, Southeast Asia is really the growth, or a large part of the growth economy. You know, that's not a criticism of the US or Europe. They will clearly be big. But if you look at it from a population point of view, you know, I think it's nearly half of the population comes out of Asia. And, you know, the amount of the hunger for content in this area, in this region is amazing. You know, you probably heard me before talk about an example of a taxi driver in the Philippines that will have 3 or 4 devices going at any one time. And you wonder, you know, how do they do this 11 hours a day of social media usage? You get in a taxi and you straight away you see it because, you know, it's on constantly, you know, whilst they're driving, there's a video playing. So, you know, the amount of content and therefore the content providers will desire to be close to their customers and to localize their content, obviously is there from the cloud point of view. Cloud adoption is clearly slower than it has been in Europe and North America. So there's a lot of opportunity for cloud adoption. So, you know, just all of it, you put all these factors together and it really becomes, and of course the scarcity of supply and price points of data centers in the tier one markets. There are many reasons why what were called the tier two markets, and you know, I hope that's a name we kind of drop at some point. You know, these growth markets is enormous, and so you know, there's that again. I can't say I foresaw all of those impact, particularly the AI part, but certainly from a population and a desire for content, you know, really strong, and you know, up and coming. You know, wealth generation is high. That you know, the increase to the kind of the middle income bracket is high. So huge growth is going to be experienced in Asia. And so I feel like we're in the right spot.
Yeah, no, brilliant, brilliant. And I'm actually also interested in your personal journey here and the journey of Evolution as a company. So here you are, you're CEO of a company that's taking on some of the hardest challenges. True sustainability, you've mentioned, you know, AI-ready infrastructure, and you're doing all that in new markets in Southeast Asia. What sort of challenges have you encountered on the way?
It's tough, right? I mean, it's an enormous challenge, you know, and you go into these things naive and you make mistakes. And, you know, I can point to many mistakes I've made, not the team that I've made, you know, which markets, you know, we chose and which ones we didn't choose quite, you know, as high up on the priority list, et cetera. But you know, you live and learn and you work out, you know, you're kind of what you as a business are good at, and you focus on that. You know, and what we've proven is that we can execute locally really well. You know, we have a strategy that we use in every market, which is working with a local partner, an equity partner, a JV partner, so a true partner, not kind of a landlord. And that's worked really well to enable us to, you know, bring what we do from a platform level, from a central level, from the team based out primarily of Singapore, but using that local relationship to prove that we can execute on the ground. And so, you know, that's been a really good part of our success story. I mean, success is probably a strong word, but our story to date. But yeah, challenges every day. You know, these are tough markets, absolutely tough markets. Each of them is, you know, Asia is very different from Europe, where, you know, it's a consolidated regulatory position. Every market we operate in is different. Every market has different political context, a different view of sustainability, a different view of competition, local versus international. So, you know, we chose the markets because we saw an opportunity. And part of that logic was, you know, these are markets that require a lot of time, a lot of investment, of your time and the team's time to, you know, get a foundation in. And we've done that, and that creates a value proposition to our clients and a value proposition to our investor, and potential investors in the future. So, yeah, definitely, you know, the naivety, you know, I kind of smile at now, you thought these things would be easier than they are. We thought these things would be quicker than they are. Cloud adoption would be quicker. What really happened there is the AI journey's kind of taken over a little bit from the cloud adoption. But, you know, ultimately, you know, through luck or judgment, we're in markets that are going through boom. If you look at Thailand now, where we've got three sites now, you know, we didn't foresee that happening quite so quickly. First site was originally 30 megawatts. Now it's 52 megawatts. Second site, you know, 70, third site, 100, you know, just we, as I said, through luck or for judgment, we found ourselves into some markets that are going through huge growth and we're ready to facilitate that. Personal challenges along the way, the amount of time and energy the teams had to put into this, the learnings we've had to take, the mistakes we've made, the knocks you have to take, you know, the resilience you have to show. And we're certainly not there, right? Well, you know, I like to talk about it's climbing a mountain and the challenge is once you get to the peak, you look over your shoulder and there's another higher mountain and you've got to go down the first one and up the next one. And that's the reality of a relatively young business. We've still got a long way to go to show, to prove ourselves. But we're in a good spot. And the challenges and the mistakes just make you more determined to make it right.
Yeah. Brilliant. You've made some pretty good industry predictions in the past, and what are your current thoughts about what's going to happen in the data center industry?
Yeah, that's very kind of you. I'm not sure if that's luck or judgment as well, but I see consolidation is almost a certainty. Yeah, the barriers to entry now are enormous to get in as a startup today into DC world. If you look at it, there's only actually, you know, probably, I don't know, a few hundred players in the world. There's 12,000 data. I think I read 12,000 data and something like that. You know, it's not an enormous amount. You think, wow, you're kind of breaking into a very small community. But the difference is, Nigel, today than it was 5 years ago is the amount of capital you need to play. Right. So, you know, we weren't fortunate because we kind of deserved what we achieved, but you know, we worked with a great investor, a top 10 global PE. But you know, no one has limitless money, right? And so now the ticket price to get in, you know, 2-3 years ago may have been, I don't know, 300, 400, 500 million. Now, arguably, you're talking about billions because, you know, one data set, one campus, 100 megawatts could be $1 billion. And, that's not insignificant. So I think we'll see consolidation. You know, we'll see the big guys snapping up some of the smaller guys. I think we'll see less real estate guys coming into the market because, again, the barriers to entry, not just capital, but also team. You know, there's not that many people in the industry and they're very well competed for. I think that will happen. I think we will, my second prediction is an unfortunate one. Really, I think we will see a step away from some of the decarbonisation targets that have been set. That's twofold, my logic for that. One is, you know, the political sentiment, particularly out of the US, is arguably, you know, not focused on sustainability. So we're seeing more investment go back into oil and gas. And I think, unfortunately, we'll see some both cloud operators, enterprises, and indeed governments continue to step back from their commitments when they realise that they aren't achievable, unfortunately. You know, net zero I was never a fan of. I always thought it was a quite ridiculous phrase. I'm still not entirely sure what it means, but you know, you're starting to see that unravel a little bit now. I don't say that with any glee, by the way. The other aspect of that is scale. Again, just to repeat what I said earlier, if you're solving for renewable energy at 10, 20 megawatts, that's not easy, but it's also doable. You know, if you got 10 hectares of land next to you, you can actually do, you know, you could actually get solar and be self-sufficient with some battery storage. But we talk about 50, 100, a gigawatt, you know, that really, it makes the thought of being sustainable. Now, of course, people talk about nuclear and, you know, I think that will happen, but I think that's a kind of 3-5 years. And I don't see that being driven by operators. I see that being driven by cloud and government. And then operators kind of picking up on that technology, that, for want of a better description. I don't see us driving it because that's not what we do, right? And also it's a huge amount of money, huge amount of risk. I don't see operators going directly into that. So, you know, I see some positives, which is the scale, the growth opportunities. You know, I think there's still a lot of cloud adoption to be done, let alone AI, the use cases that are going to definitely change the way we work and the way we live. So lots of excitement, a lot of opportunity, but I can't pretend that I worry for the sustainability side of the industry. But you know what I would say, just to remind people, you know, we're not the creators of the data, right? The operators, we're the kind of storage of those, of the servers and the data. You know, it's us as individuals, as individual consumers that are driving this data. And I know some people say, well, AI, but you know, AI is not making us take 10 photos of our lunch every day and put them on Instagram. So, you know, we are largely part of the problem. So, you know, as consumers, I think we have to adopt our own behavior and realize it has an impact from a carbon point of view. So, yeah, definitely. They're my predictions. You know, some huge growth still, consolidation, but, you know, unfortunately, and again, I say this very sadly, I do see some big stepping back from commitments of decarbonisation.
Yeah. Actually, just building on that theme, I think you could be quoted before as saying you can't build a carbon neutral data centre. I think you said that once before. Do you stand by that? Is that still true?
Yeah, I'm happy to be proven wrong, by the way. What I really dislike is this use of the word green. You know, that's absolute rubbish. You know, the reality is, of course, there are things we can do from a material point of view, cement, steel, etc. But we are digging holes in ground and we are pouring cement and putting steel in there. And the thought that that's, you know, that's good for the environment, it is ridiculous. But is it a necessity for the way we live as a you know, as a race, as human beings? Yes, it's necessity. It's a necessity. But, you know, I'd like our industry to get away from, you know, just using these marketing gimmicky terms and actually fronting up to the challenge and saying, yes, we're big consumers of power. But, you know, we want to try and be part of the solution, not just by telling people we've solved it because we have a green data center, which is, you know, absolute rubbish.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think just one more question from me. Where do you see evolution in the future? What's your vision for kind of what the company can become?
Look, I think the company can become, I don't want to in any way suggest it acts as any way inspiration for other operators. That's not my desire, but I do think we will be able to showcase, the ability to work in these markets and deliver more sustainable data centers at scale by working with green energy providers. You know, do I see, and so I should have said earlier, you know, I absolutely see an inevitability that operators, not necessarily us, but it could be us, but certainly others starting to do cogeneration, renewable companies, co-investment, you know, that for me is an absolute certainty. And, you know, and I'd love to bring evolution into that, you know, into that kind of roadmap that, you know, we are very much on both sides of the table. Yes, we are creating the demand for the power, but we're on the other side of the table working with partners to provide for more green energy to offset the amount that we're using. You know, that would be a wonderful place for evolution to end up. That's, you know, that's why it had the name Evolution, because we, you know, we foresaw the opportunity for it to move into adjacent markets like renewable energy. So, you know, it's kind of a catch-all for saying, you know, that this industry needs to evolve. And it's also very hard for people to do a presentation on data centers without using the word evolution. So I always thank them for giving us a name shout when they're doing their own presentations, which is always nice. But yeah, that is where I would love for us to demonstrate that even in these tough markets, you can provide greener facilities at scale by doing the hard work, which is spending time in market, working with local partners, creating structures, working with renewable energy companies to enable you to achieve that as an outcome. And if we can do that, then I honestly hope others do the same, because, you know, it's good for the industry. It's good for our customers to have choice. So, you know, that would be my big aspiration for the business.
Yeah. Well, brilliant. Well, look, thank you very, very much for spending the time with us today. Really enjoyed the conversation, and I'd like to wish you, you know, every success personally and with the company in the future.
Thank you, Nigel. Thanks for the invite, and thanks for your time.
Brilliant. All the best.